Well, I want to talk to you about being transformed so that we can bear fruit in others. Some people just lead a selfish life and it ends up that way, you know. When they had an opportunity to really be a blessing to people around them. And, you know, I'm going to start out with a revelation here that was given to Judy Farno. And Deb also put some notes in this. I'm going to share it with you. It's about being transformed in order to bear fruit in others. Judy said, I was in the living room feeding a small baby boy a bottle of milk. And I know that this represents feeding her spiritual man, who is Christ in you. And 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Of course, now he's talking about the manifestation of our salvation, which is why we're here. Faith is the way, but there is a manifestation, and it is Christ in you. Matthew 12 and 50 says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. You know, we are the mother of Christ if we feed our spiritual man the Word of God. In the parable of the seed of the sower, the seed of God is His Word. And our heart is the womb to bring forth fruit of Christ 30, 60, and 100-fold. Many people don't spend any time in the Word, and of course, they're going to be lightly used in such a case. The Word has to be sown. We are to cooperate with Him in doing this. When the baby is born, this fruit of Christ is revealed to the world. And this baby that she's taking care of here is her spiritual man, Christ in you. Luke 1 and 30 says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And Elizabeth said to Mary, who, like us, was to bear the fruit of Jesus. Verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. And of course that was that she would bring forth the fruit of Christ. She was a spiritual type of those who do the will of the Father, of those who believe the promises and bring forth the fruit of Christ. What does the fruit of Christ look like? It looks like Him. It looks like His ministry too. And of course, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Speaking life to things around us. And if we believe, we'll do the greater works, he said. So, even greater works than he did. Praise be to God. He said it, and he's doing it in us, because when we put the word in us, we're putting him in us. Right? And Judy said, the neighborhood kids kept coming into the house and getting out all of his toys. Well, you know, other Christians try to distract our born-again man with the things of the world so we don't grow up in him. Ephesians 5 and 15 says, look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So, you say, David, I have trouble doing this. I get distracted. That's what we're talking about. Now, what can you do about it? Well, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be known unto God. And the peace of God shall guard your heart and your thoughts. So, we just go to God and we ask Him for it. We're believers, right? All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them, right? So we just ask God for everything that we need. And we believe Him. And we read the book so we can find out the promises of this glory of Christ being manifested in us so that we can believe them. And we'll be like Mary. There will be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken unto her from the Lord. Amen? So, they're getting out the toys, trying to distract this spiritual man here in directions that he doesn't need to go. Colossians 3 and 2 says, set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are upon the earth. Well, Father, we pray for that right now, that everyone who has this desire will have this gift to set our mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are upon the earth. Verse 3, for you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're dead to the world, right? When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, and of course, he's talking about manifested in us, then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. Wow. Now, this is not talking about going to heaven. It's talking about manifesting his glory here. And manifested here is the word phaneru, and it means to make visible. As in a birth, you have the fruit. The fruit is in your womb, but it has to be revealed to the world, right? And that's what this word means, to make visible, to cause to shine, as in the shining forth of the glory of Christ, right? Amen. What a prize. How joyous the people that do this will be. And Judy said, I didn't want all that chaos and clutter and noise as I was feeding the baby. Yeah. That's because we must concentrate on the milk of the Word so that our spiritual man will grow into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, my favorite verse. It says, but we all, with an unveiled face, that is, everybody that does this, has their face unveiled, beholding as in a mirror. There, that's concentration now. That's concentration on the gift of Christ that's been given to you. You don't live anymore. He lives in you. Behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. You say, that's just too easy, David. Yep. Well, concentrate on it and keep on doing it, and you'll see just how easy it is, because Jesus talked about his burden being light. He doesn't want anything from us but faith. If we give him the faith, he gives us the works. He works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Judy said, then I told all the other children to pick up the toys and put them away, and that they had to leave. So tell some of your friends like that sometimes when they want to distract you, you know, from the important things, you know. No, this is more important. I need to do this, you know. She said, I ushered them out the door and closed it and locked the door so that they could not try to come back inside. Well, that's so that you can obey Jesus. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Or Luke 10:41, but the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And she was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus. It will not be taken away from her. Everything else will. Everything else is of the world, and it's going to die with the world. Joshua 1 and 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." Notice that. Meditate day and night so you can do it. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." Oh, praise the Lord. We all want that, don't we? "And then thou shalt have good success." Amen. And Galatians 5 and 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary, the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would." You can't walk after your flesh. You have to desire to do the will of God. You have to ask Him to put that will in you. It is a free gift. It's not by your works. But He said, "You have not because you ask not." And it's so true. Wouldn't Christians ask a lot if they believed Mark 11 and 24? "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them." That's what faith is. It's believing you've received before you see it. That's the secret of faith. Judy said, "Then as I was going back to where the baby was to feed him, I couldn't find him. And I noticed he was bigger and walking around the room and thought, well, I can't feed him anymore with a bottle. He needs more grown-up food or a jar of baby food." So Judy's fruit of Jesus grows quickly from the milk of the Word to the meat because she is concentrating on the spiritual and not the carnal. The Word and not the world. It's a prize. It's a prize of the high calling given to those who are diligent. Hebrews 5 and 12. "For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food." There are a lot of backsliders in Christianity. They're still sitting on a pew and they're still hanging out around the Christians, but they're backsliders. They haven't grown in their faith. They don't walk more in the image of Jesus Christ. They don't walk more in the faith of Jesus Christ. They're backsliders. By this time, that they've been around the Word and around the people of God, they still have a need for the very first principles of the oracles of God. And they need to stay on the milk. They're babies with beards, as a brother of mine had a revelation years ago. They've been around a while, but they're still babies. That's not bearing fruit. 13. "For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness." You might know it, but experience is putting it to work. "Without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Doesn't matter if you've been in the Lord for 40 years, 50 years, makes no difference. You're still a babe. If you're not walking out into the works of Jesus, if you're not a disciple, which is a learner and a follower of Jesus. Jesus taught the disciples to do exactly what he did and to say exactly what he said. That was the way to prosper in the spiritual life. Notice that experiencing the word is not just knowing it. It's going from milk to meat. Verse 14. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. We must use the word to experience it and grow to maturity. As also said James in chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, he said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Some people just are perpetual students. They just want to sit there and listen, listen, listen. They like what they hear, but they're not doing it. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. See there? If you don't behold the glory of Christ in the mirror, you're not going to come into his image. And if you're not a doer of the word, you're still looking at your natural face. Because if you look at Christ in the mirror, you're going to come into his image, and your ministry is going to come into his image, and your works are going to come into his. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his going. Yep, let me tell you how to be a hearer that forgetteth. Just don't act on the word when you hear it. Just put it off just a little while, and you'll be so distracted with other things that the devil comes and steals the seed which has been sown in your heart, and you just wasted it. Act on it. Act on it immediately. Be obedient immediately. And every time you do that, the old man dies and the new man comes to life, and it's easier the next time. Judy said, then I was also wondering where I was going to find clothes to fit him, because he was growing so fast. And he just kept growing and growing until he was very tall, maybe 7 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Our spiritual clothes are our works of righteousness, and they show our maturity, as in being a member of the bride. Revelation 19 and 8 says of her, and it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright, which is the word lampros, like a lamp, meaning radiant, meaning shining forth of the glory, right? Bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts, the works, right, of the saints. And she went on to say that he had wide shoulders. And Isaiah 9 and 6 says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Everlasting Father here is Father of Eternity. That's who Jesus is. He's not the Father. He's not his Father. He is the Father of eternity. You receive his words, you have eternal life. His words are his seed. Therefore, he is our Father, you see. And he sows in us eternal life, and eternal life is to be obedient to the words that he gives you. It's simple, isn't it? Judy said, then I felt I needed to find my husband and to tell him what had happened. Well, our spiritual husband is Jesus, who is the Word, which is the seed that brings forth his life in the womb of the natural man, Judy here represents the natural man who brings forth the spiritual man of Christ in you. Right? We all are like that if we obey Christ. We are the mother of Christ, right? All of God's people are called to bear the fruit of Jesus. The first fruits of these sons of God is the man-child who will lead God's people through the wilderness tribulation in the days to come. That's repeated throughout history. Go all back to Moses, for instance, who led God's people through the wilderness to the mountain of God, the presence of God himself. And this man-child will be caught up to the throne of God's authority in order to do this work. And Judy said, he said he needed to go to his father. And we got into the car, and he backed the car out of the driveway. He's really grown up now, right? And drove to a big open field. And you know, Jesus said the field is the world, right? He got out of the car and looked up, and I saw the heavens open up, and he ascended into heaven. Just like Jesus did. Hoo-hoo. How cool. Well, our personal man, child, that Christ in you, the hope of glory, our personal man, child, will live with our Father in heavenly places. According to Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, let me point out to you that heavenly places is not someplace up in the sky. He says it's in Christ. Abiding in Christ is where we bear fruit, is what Jesus told us. Blessing in heavenly places. You can abide in heaven or you can abide on earth. If you abide in heaven, you'll bear fruit. And verse 2 and 6, chapter 2 and verse 6, and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is why he tells us to abide in him, which means to abide in his word. The first fruits man-child company will be caught up to the throne to minister to the woman church in the wilderness, just as Revelation 12 tells us. Verse 5, and she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Now, Jesus, you say that's Jesus. No, Jesus is the one that said to him that overcometh will rule all nations with the rod of iron. This is a quote from that. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, which is the tribulation, according to Revelation 12 and Revelation 17, right? Where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her. Who is they? It's the man-child, just like throughout history. They may nourish her. Who was it that brought the quail and the manna out of heaven and so on and so forth? It was the Lord speaking through Moses, the man-child. History always repeats. It always repeats. It just repeats with larger groups of people. Okay. That there they may nourish her 1,260 days. That's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And what did Jesus do for 3.5 years? He multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He fed the people, spiritually and physically even. How awesome is that? Well, notice in nature, the seed is in the fruit. Those who have the fruit now have the seed, right? So we have to bear the fruit before we can give it away. You can't give away something you don't have. You said, the next thing I knew, I was back home in my living room. Yeah, she was ready to go to work in the kingdom, because now she had borne the fruit. And her fruit was in heavenly places in Christ. I didn't drive back. I was just there, back in my home. Well, that's where you are when you bear fruit. You are just ready, right there. You are ready. Because when you got the fruit, you have the seed. Like the sower went forth to sow the seed. And the seed was what? The Word of God. It was coming straight out of his heart. Out of his innermost being flowed this river of living water. And I was feeding another baby. And he also started to grow really fast. Well, now watch this parable here. There's a switch right here. Once our spiritual man is grown, we are capable of feeding and raising others' spiritual man so that they too can bear fruit quickly and live in heavenly places in Christ. Do you understand that? Jesus always said, to him that overcometh will I give authority. Right? He doesn't give it to novices. He doesn't give it to people that go to Bible school. That's all you did there is milk, if you got the milk. Most likely you didn't get the milk. But if you went there and got the milk and got some word in you, that's fine. But now you got to have the experience of it. And the experience of it is walking in his steps. Let everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked. Wow, that means you're going to have a miraculous ministry. Luke 6 and 42. Or how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me cast out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. The most astounding thing to me is that people who have been caught in fornication, lying, stealing, slandering, wanting to correct somebody that's not doing any of those things. You talk about hypocrite. We know the hypocrites. Oh, gosh. It's just astounding. We call them the stupid demons, not because they're stupid. They're very smart, but they make people very stupid. Everybody around people like that can see, what are you doing, you know? And it doesn't make sense for us to go out and become preachers and teachers and leaders, and although people lust for these things, it makes no sense to go out and do this when you haven't been made a leader, when the Lord has not ordained you. No man should take unto himself this right. As I watched him grow, I had another baby in my arms feeding him. And again, he grew really fast. And another baby appeared in my arms, and I was feeding him. It was like the babies just kept coming and coming and growing up very fast. You see, you can be very useful in the kingdom after your own spiritual man has grown up into the image of Christ. You can be very useful. And then the alarm clock went off. So, this just means that the time will come when time is up to bear fruit in others. And Judy and many others will feed the spiritual man of many before the time is up. And we all go to the Father. And this is what Jesus taught. John 12 and 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. Oh, praise be to God. We must die to to our own will and the toys of this world and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And don't worry about the rest of that stuff. Honestly, don't worry about the rest of that. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be provided because you're doing the will of God. So he takes care of these other things. If you put these other things first, you will miss out on bearing that fruit that you need to be useful to the people around you. You can't give away what you don't have. Judy said, I asked the Lord for a verse regarding this dream and opened the Bible and put my finger down on Ezekiel 37:4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Well, as you know, those dry bones all came together, and the sinews came together, and the flesh came upon them, and they stood up a mighty army. That's a revival. There's churches full of dead dry bones out there, and they're all disconnected too, by the way. They're disbodied, dismembered, because they're not members of a unit that works together. They have not come into one accord, you see. So this is the way the revival will bring in the dead religious multitudes and give them life in Christ. Even as Satan's minions fight to stop us, Judy and others in our ministry have been diligent to get the word out to others so they can grow up quickly. So, I mean, that's why God gave her this dream. And Deb said, I also asked for a word by random computer and received Proverbs 14:23. In all labor, there is profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Meaning, let's talk about it less and feed the spiritual man more, or we'll end up in spiritual poverty. Right? Awesome. Awesome revelation. Thank you for that, Father. Now, this is little Lexi's revelation, Lexi Bristol. And it's about Jesus and the father of the resurrected man child. Okay. Lexi said, in a dream, I was in a room that looked like a nursing home. Well, you know what a nursing home is. It's a place where the old man is looked after while they pass away with grace. Okay. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Why are they disobedient? Well, obviously, why they're disobedient. They're doing everything but the will of God. Wherein you also once walked when you lived in these things. But now do ye also put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge, after the image of him that created him. All right. We're be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Repent, which means change your mind, believe what God says. Where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Notice that. Christ is all and in all. In other words, he wants a mature body made up of mature people. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other, if any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Love is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. See, this is a command of the Lord. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. Some people don't like that, because spirits don't like that. The demons don't like to get in a bunch of people that worship. And you got to turn against those demons yourself. You turn against them. You confess the word of God. Don't speak against the word of God. When you do that, you're defiled. That's where Jesus said a person gets defiled. It's evil thoughts coming up out of their heart and through their mouth. They get defiled. Speak as an oracle of God. Say what God says. Don't say lies to people. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Name means nature, character, and authority. Do everything in the nature, character, and authority of the Lord Jesus. If he said it, we can say it. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Then I saw this light out of the corner of my eye, Lexi said. And as I turned, I saw sitting on a throne was Jesus. And I fell down on my face, worshiping him. His body was glowing bright, and he was wearing a robe like you might see the early disciples wear. His face and eyes were indescribable. Now, let me point out something to you, that Jesus is seen here in this dream for a purpose. It's to show in the rest of this dream that another man-child will also go through death and resurrection to be used by him. The resurrection, by the way, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this second man-child is Jesus manifested in a latter days corporate body by the Word and the Spirit. Listen carefully to Ecclesiastes 4:13 through 16. It's a prophecy of Jesus and the end-time man-child. 4:13, better is a poor and wise youth, that's Jesus, than an old and a foolish king, that was Herod, who knoweth not how to receive admonition any more. Yep, people get set in their ways. And there wasn't much hope for Herod to change his mind. For out of prison he came, he is Jesus here, because he went and preached to the spirits in prison, did he not? Yeah. Out of prison he came forth to be king. Yea, even in his kingdom he was born poor. That's true. I saw all the living that walk under the sun, that they were with the youth. The second that stood up in his stead, the second youth, that's the man child, that stood up in his stead. That means, in these days, if you brought back Jesus in one body, he wouldn't be able to preach to the whole world. And besides, he wouldn't be preaching to just little Israel, because now Israel is worldwide. He is not a Jew who's one outwardly in that circumcision of the flesh. He is a Jew who's one inwardly in the circumcision of the heart. That's the born again experience. How is Jesus going to preach to all of these people in one body, for goodness sake? So mankind grew from the time of Jesus when he came the first time, and now the body of Jesus must grow too in order to do the exact same thing. So let's look at that again. The second, that's the man-child, that stood up, and most translations say, shall stand up. Many times the scripture speaks of the future as past already. Many times. Most translations say here, shall stand up in his stead. And it goes on to say there was no end of all the people, even all of them, over whom he, that is Jesus, was. Yet they that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and a striving after wind. Boy, I tell you, since the time of Jesus, people have just still gone their own way, done their own thing. Even so-called Christians still doing their own thing. It's just a striving after wind. It's a waste of a life. It's not what he gave to us as a gift. Amen? So, wow. And Lexi said, he said, look. And that's Jesus. Jesus said, look, and I looked to his right and saw a dead boy and a man who was weeping and holding the boy. And Lexi said, I think it was his father, that is the boy's father, that was holding him. So when I read this, I asked the Lord, who is the father here? Because I thought he represented the father and his son, the man child, who is to be resurrected into the image of Jesus. And I got a direct answer. I randomly put my finger down on Joab the father. And that's in 1 Chronicles 4 and 14. Joab means Yahweh is father. So this son is the man child who is about to be resurrected. The name Joab is derived from Yahweh, the name of the God of Israel, and the Hebrew word Av, meaning father. Yahweh, Father. So Joab means Yahweh is Father. But the word Joab was also followed by this in the text with the words is Father. So we have a double confirmation. If you put all this together, it says Yahweh is Father, the Father. That's what it says. Yahweh is Father, the Father. What a confirmation. So now we knew that the one who was holding this boy, that was not Jesus, because Jesus was over there, right? This boy, he was holding this boy and crying. Because somebody killed his son again. The wicked have killed his son in every generation, if you really want to know the truth. The sons of perdition, like Judas, were traitors to crucify Christ in you. The boy's skin was gray, indicating that he had been dead a while. So the man-child has been dead for a while. And suddenly the boy opened his blue eyes, and I started yelling. That was Lexi. There's a resurrection! Praise the Lord. So Father was holding his son, because whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me, he said. He's holding his son, whom they have killed again. And suddenly the boy's eyes opened, and I started yelling, there's a resurrection. I ran out of the room to tell everyone, but I tripped on my long garment and couldn't get untangled. Everyone else tripped over each other while trying to get into the room. And the only one I recognized was Amy. I thought, wow, that's interesting. So I looked up Amy, and Amy is a French baby name meaning dearly loved, beloved. And I believe she represents the bride here, who is the first to see the resurrected man-child, right? Except for a puppy dog. It says the first one to get into the room was a black Yorkie dog who was barking her head off and jumping around, like for joy. Yeah. So even a dog would recognize its master, but many Christians would not. It's a sad thing. They wouldn't recognize him. And the Jews, when Jesus came, he was their Messiah, and they didn't recognize him. Even their most studious theologians didn't recognize him. And so it is today. So I'm going to share a little bit more with you. This is Sandy Shaw's revelation that she had on the 25th. Which was yesterday. Isn't it amazing how God puts these things together, folks? We're not making this stuff up. And we call it man-child raised by angels. So, Sandy said, in this first dream, because she had two of them, I was in my house, lying in a hospital bed, in the yellow room with a horse border around the wall. And literally, that's where she went. Jeff was sleeping in our bedroom, but our bedroom is slightly different. It had a door going to the outside that had a doorbell. Well, normally the doorbell's on the outside of the house, not on the outside of the room, right? The doorbell rang. And Jeff got up and answered the door. And there was no one there but a baby in a big brown basket. Somebody dropped their baby off for them to take care of, right? The baby was lying on a woven blanket of many colors. It reminds you of Joseph's coat of many colors. It reminds you of Jesus, who is the light, that when you break the light down by a prism, it shows you the different attributes of the light, which is all these colors, right? Those are all the attributes of Jesus Christ. All colors are attributes of Jesus Christ. He had on a white cloth diaper. And in the basket was a note. Oh, of course. And the note read, take care of until further instructions from God. Take care of until further instructions from God. In other words, take care of this spiritual man, this man-child. See, each one of us actually has a man-child, right? It's that born again man inside of us who's coming into the image of Jesus Christ. He's our fruit. Each one of us has a man child in this parable, you know. Until further instructions come. Take care of your spiritual man. It's the most important thing you have. It's an order from God, right? You take care of it, I'll tell you what to do from here on. The baby looked to be 4 or 5 months old. And Jeff picks up the baby and said, "Baby!" I said loudly, "What?" She was in the next room. And he started playing with the baby until he got fussy. So I said, "What do you have in there, Jeff?" He said, "I have a baby." "Oh, bring it to me." But he said, "You have a broken leg." I said, "No, I don't. How many times do I have to tell you that?" So Jeff brought the baby to me, and I laid him down next to me in the bed. And I started to rub his temple area on his head. And I said, "You don't have to worry. God's protection is over you." Well, it's true. God's protection is over that man child. He's not going to let anything happen to him, no matter how much the devil's trying to take it out, right? And I started to feed the baby with an old type glass baby bottle with a large nipple. It had milk in it. And then I told the baby, "In a little while, angels are coming to minister and to teach you." Oh, glory be to God. Now, this is of course true of our spiritual man, the man child inside of us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But it's also true of the man child himself, right? That is going to be a corporate body that teaches the rest of the body. And then I fell asleep, and the room was full of angels, about 200. They were of various sizes, with a radiance about them. The radiance was of the color white, or of gold, or of silver. And also, these angels were in constant motion. Those that were ministering to the baby had less motion, while the others had more motion. Maybe the others were defending while these were ministering. Hebrews 1 and 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?" Yes, indeed. They're ministering spirits. So remember that spirit part there. We'll come back to that. At first, they were playing with the baby. And the baby was reaching out his hand and playing with them and giggling. The baby was continually growing. Well, as it was with Jesus, so it will be with Jesus in the man-child, right? Luke 2 and 52. "And Jesus advanced in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men." He grew. He grew quickly. "Because he that's of God hears the words of God." He told them, "Pharisees, for this reason you hear them not. You're not of God." So, she said, teaching angels were now teaching him. He was now 2 to 3 years old. That's fast, huh? And now he has purple clothing, representing royalty. He's a son of God, right? Then different angels come up close to him. He was now 4 or 5. Still yet more angels came up, and he was 6 or 7 years old. What does all these angels coming have to do with this maturity? Well, notice that the more angels, the more maturity. And then I woke up, she says. Well, angels bring different giftings to God's people. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 says, "So also ye, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts," and gifts is in italics, it was written in because it doesn't belong there. "Since you are zealous of spiritual gifts," in the Greek, this one word meaning spirits, it's speaking of angels. "Since you are zealous of spirits, seek that you may abound unto the edifying of the church." Did you notice the more angels that came, the more edified or built up the man-child became? Whether it's true of your spiritual man-child that's living in your body and bearing fruit and about to be seen by the world, or whether it's talking about the corporate body of the man-child. They both grow up the same way, right? So, seek that you may abound. Lord, send those gifted angels, those that minister the gifts through your people. Send those angels, Lord, and those gifts to be manifested through your whole body, so that the body of Christ has the power of Christ and does the works of Christ with the signs and wonders that confirm the word of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then Sandy said, "In this second dream, I'm in an outdoor market, and I see fruit stands with all kinds of fruit and vegetable stands with all kinds of vegetables. And then I looked off in the distance and saw a canopy with pillows hanging from it. Blankets also were sold there. And one that caught my eye was a burgundy one with a gold metallic ribbon close to the edge. I had the same young boy from the previous dream. He was 6 or 7 years old and still wearing purple clothing. I was holding his hand and I told him to stay close." You remember when Jesus was with Mary and was subject to Mary, the Bible says, as a type of the bride, she was astonished at his spirituality and thought on the things that he spoke of. He was far more spiritual than she was, and she learned a lot from Jesus. But he taught us obedience, and he was subject to Mary, and so on. And then he said to her, "Remember, you were instructed to get the band," meaning a wedding band. So the bride needs to have her wedding band. "Then all of a sudden, there was a man standing in front of me. He had a large ring that carried many rings of all sizes. He said, 'So you're looking for a ring. I have rings. What size do you need?'" Now, a ring represents eternity, they say, because there's no end of it. The devil offers many eternities through religious imposters that'll fit any man's desires. They can have any god that they want and call him Jesus. And they can have any religion they want and call it Christianity. It's all their choosing, right? So I'm looking at the rings. And he says, I know that I have the ring. I know I have the right size. And I gave him back the large ring. No, you don't have the right size. And he says, I have every size you need. And I said, no, you don't. It's one size fits all. And God is doing the sizing. See, God's salvation is the Word. And there's only one Word. But you wouldn't know that by looking at a lot of Christians who worship men and religion. Because they've never actually read the Word to find out what they're supposed to believe. Instead, they've asked men to tell them what they're supposed to believe. So that's why we've gone so far astray. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God, and if any man ministereth, ministering as the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, notice, if a man speaks, he should speak as an oracle of God. Say what God says. Obviously, the disciples said, you have the words of life. Where else can we go? The words of life. Yeah, this river of living water that flows out of God's people who speak His word and bring life to everything around them. This is not speaking the words of religion. There's no power in religion. There's no manifestation of the works of Christ because there's no manifestation of the heart of Christ in religion. And because they have departed from the oracles of God, they're not bearing fruit. Hebrews 5 and 12. For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. There we go again. So many people are wasting their time. The Bible says, redeem the time. The days are evil. Redeem the time. You've been given just so much time. You know, we talk about a race. Paul talked about it as a race. He wasn't talking about racing one another. He was talking about racing against the time. You've only been given so much time to bear fruit on this earth. Those that don't are going to be cast forth into outer darkness. Those that do, 30, 60, and 100-fold, will be ushered into the kingdom. It's that simple. Redeem the time. And then the little boy said, remember, many more are coming. He was talking about this man that brought this choose anything you want religion, you know. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. Why do they do that? Because they're not ordained of God. And no marvel, for even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. Yes, he don't come with the pitchfork and the horns and all that, you know. He comes to you speaking as though he were God. It's no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness. So if you're looking around for the false ministers, look for the ones that are supposed to be ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. How do you know a minister of righteousness from one of these false ministers has fashioned themselves into a minister of righteousness? Well, they've taken this honor upon themselves. It wasn't ordained of God. Okay. Number two, they don't have the gift of fruit so that they have the real seed to bring someone into the image of Christ. So they might can talk a talk, but they can't walk the walk. And if you watch them close, you'll see that. Revelation 17 and 6, and I saw the woman, the harlot, drunken with the blood of the saints. Yeah, if you don't tell someone the truth, Ezekiel said, their blood is upon your hands. And 18 and 24, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that have been slain upon the earth, in her, in the harlot. And these false ministers, they are the ministers of the harlot. So if you are a minister out there and you're a minister in a harlot, guess what? You need to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, right? So I asked the Lord by faith at random, what are you telling us in this dream? And at first she got Jeremiah 32 and 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Well, now, on the surface, you'd say, well, okay, since he's the God of all flesh, he's able to do anything with flesh, just like the potter can do with the clay anything he wants to do with it. Is anything too hard for me? Some foolishly say that God can't save from sin by manifesting his son in our body, because they don't know the gospel. They've never read the word, and they deny it when they do read it. They're full of unbelief, and they spread their unbelief. They do the work of the devil. The next word she got was Mark 10 and 1. And he arose from thence and cometh into the borders of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And multitudes come together unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. The common word there is again. So, yes, Jesus is coming again to minister to the multitudes all over the earth, manifested by his Spirit and his Word in a corporate first fruits body. History always repeats. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Can't understand prophecy unless you understand that. So now we're looking for the same thing to happen again. And John 15:11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. So, of course, the word of God is that we come into the image of Jesus, so that his joy be in us, and every other part of his nature be in us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Those who love him and love his appearing in them will show the power of his salvation in all areas. What joy! Yeah, tribulations and crucifixions, they last a while. After you suffered a little while, shall himself strengthen you, right? They all last for a while, but then they're over, and then you have that joy. The joy that a man is born into the world. John 14 and 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Notice. And I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. So, he's coming in those who, like the bride, love him and keep his commandments. And because of this, they will be loved of the Father and the Son. What about all this unconditional love of God? Well, I'm sorry, I'll read it to you again so you can repent and change your mind. Okay? John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You say, that's salvation by works, David. No, it's not. If you walk by faith, you will be able to obey, because that's how grace comes. Right? Grace is the favor of God. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, in other words, keeps my commandments, shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Wow, look at the value in keeping his commandments. Because the bride is the one who loves the Lord. Notice Song of Solomon. Notice Esther. She's the one who loves and runs after the Lord. Not the world. The queens and the concubines and the virgins are all distracted with the world there in Song of Solomon. But not the bride. They thought she was a fanatic. But then they saw the advantage. She sat next to the king on his throne. Right? Wow. Okay, here's a revelation given to Matthew Stewart on the 9th of this month. And in it, the Lord is coming in the man-child to rescue the bride and to destroy the faction. In a dream, I was with the UBM group. And this actually happened. He did come here and was with us for a while. It was very good. I was with the UBM group, and we were all around a long table, some standing and some sitting. I would say it's probably the table of the Lord, feasting on the Lord, the body and blood of Christ, you know, the Word of God, and the Spirit. I was sitting on the left side next to David Eales. Then a man walked in through the door, and then someone told me that this man murdered his wife, who was a believer. Okay, so we're familiar with this. And this represents the factious leaders and their spiritual wives, which are those that they sow the demons of faction in to destroy them, to get them to submit to them, to see and to destroy them. These men, by selfish ambition and spoken words of rebellion and criticism and slander, made disciples unto themselves. They used demons to do it, or the demons used them to do it, either way. And one was pointed out to me when I read this. And I got to say that many husbands have destroyed their wives in the natural because of this. Praise God. He's going to do something about this. Well, just as I began to look at this, Jeff called me and shared a dream confirmation with me. He said, we were all eating at this house, and in walked a factious leader that we all know. and sat down with us, smiling as if nothing had happened. And Jeff said, "Oh no." And then David came in and saw this man and said to him, "We're not having this. You have to go." And this false leader, of course, represents someone who masked his real problem for a long time as he smiled and acted like he was our friend or our brother, but then he exploded when he was discovered to be false. Then Jeff called back just a little bit later to relate Sandy's dream that she just told him that she had the same night. It was amazing. I mean, he didn't know about this when he told me his dream, and then she had this dream, which complemented it, you know. And she said this same false leader came into her hospital room. And Sandy said, actually the same words that were spoken in Jeff's dream, but neither knew the other had received. She said, "No, you have to go." Then she pressed the call button and had the nurse escort him out. Well, it's just obedience to the word of God. Titus 3 and 10 and 11 says, "A factious man after a first and second admonition refuse. And knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned." And something very interesting happened around this time. A man who really never had been able to believe God for deliverance and healing, because he never had any faith, because he never forgave anybody, who was trapped by this false, factious leader, called up Jeff, you know, with this sugary attitude, you know, like, "Oh, I'm your brother, and so on and so forth, and I wish you the best," and blah, blah, blah. But this guy had just stolen a big lawnmower from UBM. Stolen it. And just decided it was the right thing to do, you know. And it's crazy. It's just so crazy. And yet, And of course he left because he was critical of me because the factious leader put this slander and stuff into him. And so again, here's a guy that's a thief that wants to act like he's a brother and get up close to you so he can impart demons to you. Right? And that happened at this time too. So isn't this amazing? The Lord gave warning. So let's go back to Matthew's dream now. "And I wondered why the police haven't arrested him, because everyone knew that he killed his wife." And this was true. This was true. The police here represents the angels who gather the factious out of the midst and into captivity and into judgment, so that the body is sanctified. I mean, you know, there is no case where we did not find prior hiding of sins before the Lord turned these people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. There's no case that didn't happen. He was cleansing the body in every case, and he's still doing it. Praise be to God. But I think it's just over. Matthew 13:41, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom." It's clear that they are out of the kingdom. They don't obey the word. They have no conscience to obey the word. No interest to obey. If you talk about why are you disobeying this word, they just ignore you and go right on talking about whatever they want to talk about. They just ignore the word every time. "Gather out of his kingdom all that cause stumbling." And things wasn't in the original there, because it's talking about people. "All that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity. and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth, notice the body is sanctified of the evil. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians 5 to put out the leaven. You don't have to do that with factious people. That particular demon causes them to run as soon as you recognize them and point out their sin. That's all it takes. Boom, they're gone. It's not a matter of having to tell them to go. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. Then he came over and sat down across from me. Then I stood up and prophesied against him, this man who killed his wife. Prophesied against him about his death and the pain that he was going to go through. Well, they become dead to God and the Word and lost because of unforgiveness and disobedience. If you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. You cannot be saved with unforgiveness. Anybody out there with it, it may be causing you a lot of trouble. It may be bringing you to sickness. It may be bringing curses upon you. The curse of unforgiveness, read it. It's on our site. It's free. Go there and read it. The curse of unforgiveness. Halfway through the prophecy, Matthew said, I started to wonder if I was just saying these words and not God through me. So I looked over at David to see if what I was saying was true, and he was nodding his head in agreement. And now I knew that I was saying what God wanted me to say, and this was the end of the dream. So he said, I asked the Lord for a verse concerning the dream, and he gave me Zechariah 1 and 9. Well, here it is in context with an explanation of, quote, his death and the pain he was going to go through, unquote. And an awesome message for the bride of deliverance from such people. Zechariah 1 and 8. I saw in the night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. And behind him there were horses, red and sorrel and white. Well, I believe that these are testings and tribulations and judgments, as the horses of tribulation in Revelation 6 are. And verse 9, Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these are. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. Yeah, their job is to raise up a wilderness experience for those under judgment and for those who can go through it and be bettered, right? And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Meaning, they've not yet been released to bring their tribulation curses on the wicked, as some think, but the threat is coming. The threat is coming. In verse 12, as you know, the horses of Revelation aren't released until the tribulation starts. And I don't think we're very far from that right now. Then, verse 12, Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And of course, 70 years is when they came out of captivity, right? So this was about to happen. Through the Babylonish crucifiers of the body of Christ, this judgment has been going forward. And verse 13 says, And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words, even comfortable words. So the angel that talked with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem, and for Zion, who is, of course, the bride, with a great jealousy. I am very sore displeased with the nations that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Of course, they have hatred against the bride. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. The Lord comes in the man-child with that Isaiah 61 anointing and mercy to set the captives free, right? And just for a moment, I'll depart from this text and we'll come back to it. But Merlene just got this right after this, actually, Luke 4 and 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is Isaiah 61. And he opened the book, and he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Of course, Jesus fulfilled that in his time, and history repeats, so he's going to fulfill that in our time. Okay? And he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears, meaning, of course, that this great mercy and this great grace that Isaiah 61 spoke about, that the man-child would bring forth, Jesus did that in his day. It was being fulfilled in his ministry. And also in his ministry in our day, it's going to be fulfilled. Because the things that have been are the things that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. And he goes on to say, My house shall be built in it. Talking about his temple, his house. We're not talking about a physical temple. We're talking about the temple of the Lord built in his bride. Says the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth over Jerusalem, that is the bride. So now if we go back to our original text in Zechariah 1 and continue on from verse 17 on, cry yet again, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My cities shall yet overflow with prosperity. Well, he's talking about the cities under Zion. He says, And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. He's talking about his cities that are under the authority of the capital city of Zion, which is the bride, who is ruled over by David as a type of the man-child. Okay, all of the kingdom of God is going to be fulfilled. All the type and the shadow of the Old Testament of the kingdom of God under David is going to be fulfilled in the New Testament. Not in the letter, in the spirit. Many people have their eyes on the letter, but the letter killeth. and the Spirit giveth life. They got their eyes on natural Jerusalem, which is in total sin and rebellion against God. They've rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ for all but a few. So all these glorious revelations about Zion, they are talking about the bride, because the Lord showed John Zion, Jerusalem, coming down, and he said that she was the bride. Okay, and the bride, of course, is Christian. Come on now, you that are trying to go back under Judaism to be a Jew. And I lifted up mine eyes, and I saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And of course, the Lord is speaking about the horns of faction, witchcraft, slander, and hatred. And the Lord showed me four smiths. So he showed him the horns that scattered God's people. And then he showed him four smiths. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these, that is the smiths, are come to terrify them, to cast down the horns of the nations, which lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. Horns of faction, witchcraft, slander, and hatred are going to be cast down by the Lord and his smiths. A similar promise was given to us three times in the last days here by faith at random. Isaiah 40 and 1 on down. Let me read it to you. It's very similar to what we just read, and very much a confirmation of it. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Something similar to that was said in Zechariah. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, which is the bride, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Well, of course, the bride has been going through warfare to keep the dragon and his, who is the devil, and his emissaries from taking her out. Of course, anybody that wasn't the bride has been taken out. That her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. In verse 3, the voice of one that crieth, prepare ye in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Make level in the desert a highway for our God. So, after this ministry of repentance through the John the Baptist ministries, will come the Lord in the man-child ministry. How long? We don't know. We don't have a relationship to be able to judge. We know in the Bible it was 6 months, but all the measurements in our day, as you can see, the man-child grew up very, very fast. So, you know, I suspect it's not 6 months. So after the ministry of repentance of the John the Baptist ministry is going to come the man-child ministry. That's history, and so history has to be repeated. And of course, through this, verse 4 goes on to say, every valley shall be exalted. That speaks of those who are humble, who will be exalted to a position of leadership. And every mountain and hill shall be made low. And this, of course, represents the proud and lifted up. And now that they will be humbled. And the uneven shall be made level, and the rough places a plain. So a highway for God is being created so that people can come to God. And all the stumbling blocks are being moved out of the way. The rough places are becoming a plain, right? And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Where? Well, that's what we're talking about. The manifestation of Christ in you. It'll be revealed in the righteous. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The world is going to see Jesus again. Not that they'll like him any more than they did the last time. But you'd be surprised how many people are going to come out of the world and take a place in the kingdom because they've been given grace from God. As a matter of fact, they're going to take the place of someone who was in the kingdom and did not appreciate that place. Let no man take thy crown, the Lord said. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And verse 6. The voice of one saying, cry. And one said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. So what he's saying is, through this time, the flesh which has been exalted is going to be humbled. It's going to be brought down. And those who in the flesh exalted themselves over the people of God, as Satan said he wanted to do, they're going to be brought down. Verse 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the breath of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Those that were against God, that persecuted his people, they're going to be withering grass, the fading flower. The mountain is going to be leveled. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. What is that? Well, Christ in you. Who is he? John 1 and 1. The word was with God and the word was God. John, what's going to be left? Well, it looks to me like all the flesh is going to be leveled. And those who are made of the Word of God, as Jesus is, he was the Word made flesh that dwelt among us, all those who are made of the Word of God will stand. And of course, that's the spiritual man, not the carnal man. Carnal means fleshly man. He will not stand. And especially any that's promoted themselves over the people of God, they will not stand. They will be caught. They will fall into foolishness. The devil will take them out. He'll kill them with diseases. Whatever. Any way you can imagine, he's going to take them out. O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion. Well, the man-child is going to teach the bride, just like David did, right? Get thee up on a high mountain. In other words, be exalted. There was a time when Saul was humbled. He was brought down by the old man of the land, the Philistines, right? They took him out, which means, of course, his flesh, the old man of the land, took him out. He fell into sin, deep sin, was reprobated, had no place with God whatsoever. Okay. And when that happened, all the people went to David. All Israel came under David in Judah. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Oh my. God is coming. God is coming in the man child. He's coming in the Davids. David was a man after God's heart. He wanted God's heart. And God gave it to him. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come as a mighty one. Yeah, we say, come, Lord Jesus. And his arm will rule for him. Now, if you look at Isaiah 53 very carefully, you'll see that the arm of the Lord is Jesus. But the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And his hand represents those people on the earth that do his works. A hand represents works in the earth. His arm will rule. The arm gives strength to the hand. The hand is nothing without the arm. Nothing. His arm will rule for him. Jesus is coming to rule. Read Ezekiel 34, how he was fed up with the false leadership of his people. They didn't heal the sick. They didn't raise them up. And he kicked them out. And he said he himself would be the shepherd of his sheep. Amen? Oh, that's awesome. Praise be to God. We look forward to that. And he also speaks there about his servant David, whom he will move through. You know? And his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. His reward is with him? Yes, he's going to be with those whom he exalts to be head over his people. And he brought down Saul, and he raised up David. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. What was the recompense? He brought down David and that whole regime. You know, some of the prophecies we're hearing lately are right. He's going to bring down this regime over this country. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. The Lord is not leaving this up to anybody else. But if it's Christ in you, we have no need that any man should teach us. We have an anointing from the Holy One. The anointing is Christ. Christos. Anointing. And he anointed you. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He Christos us. He'll feed his flock like a shepherd. It is Christos in man who is going to feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom and will gently lead those that have their young. And on through that chapter, and the next one is very important too. But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Renewing their strength means that they lost their strength. And of course, God does that. You know, he brings down the flesh, the fleshly strength, and he exalts the spiritual strength. And his power is made perfect in the flesh's weakness. You see? So sometimes he has to weaken people. Sometimes he even turns them over to the devil. They're so weak they can't resist him. And they stay under that chastening for a while until they're humble enough to cry out to God and decide that they want to obey, and he releases them. But they that wait for the Lord, obviously people are tired of waiting on the Lord. I too feel the same thing, tired of waiting on the Lord. I say, come, Lord Jesus, you know. So this is a test. Waiting on the Lord is a test. Some people are going to decide they're tired of waiting and they're just going to go back and do things the way they want to do. Well, okay, they flunked the test. They didn't wait for the Lord. They didn't wait till he came and renewed their strength. They didn't confess him before men. They spoke against him and against his word and against his ministers who told them the truth about the coming of the Lord. Verse 31 says, but they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. There you go. Overcomers. Where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. In other words, wherever there's a dead man, there's a resurrected man. There's an overcomer. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I do believe that this is a promise for God's people who have faithfully served him, waited patiently for him. And in the tribulation, this is exactly how they're going to be. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint. They're going to spread the kingdom because the seed of the kingdom is in them. What an awesome revelation. Well, Father, we ask that you give us grace, Father, because even if we see what you want, we can't do it of our own selves. What must we do to do the works of God? Well, as our Lord Jesus said, believe on him whom he has sent. So, Lord, we believe that you took away our sins. We believe that you, by one offering, you have perfected forever them that are sanctified. We believe that you matured us, perfected us. We receive the gift of Jesus Christ, Father, that you sent for us. We receive the exchange, his life for our life. We receive it. We believe, Lord. We look in the mirror and we see Jesus. We believe that you are able to perfect that which pertaineth to us. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and as you promised, we'd be changed into that same image from glory to glory. So, Lord, we accept the gift of salvation. We know that the manifestation of salvation is Jesus Christ. When we look at him in the mirror, we're seeing that we've received everything we've asked of God. Because our Lord told us, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So we believe everything that he said we are, we are. And what we are in Jesus Christ is ours, our gift from the kingdom of God. So, Father, we ask you to grant us repentance. We are nothing without you, just as a hand is nothing without the arm. We're nothing without you. You give strength unto us. You said the pleasure of the Lord would prosper in your hand. Lord, for your own glory, Lord, raise up those who are waiting patiently for you, enduring the tribulations, while they trust in you to finish the good work that you have started. Lord, empower those who have been patient and been waiting. Exalt them as you exalted this mountain from that valley. Exalt those who have humbled themselves to you, Lord. Exalt those who have put the word of God in their heart and been obedient to it, Lord. Exalt them. Take down the proud, the wicked, those who live in sin but want to teach others. Take them down, Lord. They have sown nothing but bad fruit in the hearts of your people. Take them down, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Humble them. Let them start where they must start, which is at the beginning. to obey your word, which they have not done. Lord, we know you've heard our prayers today. We know from these verses that you're going to do just this. And we're thanking you for it, Lord. We're receiving this gift as a done deal in the name of Jesus Christ.